I'm gonna call this group to order.
I'm in trouble again, so I didn't mean to get you in trouble.
Okay. I open the contract review board. 9A, Eric, please.
Approval of contract with Dig Deep Research for strategic grant pursuits, Public Affairs Council for State Government Relations Services, and Water Strategies LLC for Federal Government Relations Services.
Okay, Spencer.
Yeah, there's basically three contracts that are folded into this motion. Previously, they were all handled as part of the Dig Deep Research contract, and then these were subcontracts with Dig Deep. As we're moving into the various funding phases of the dam project in particular, it's important that we separate out our state government and federal government lobbying efforts from the funding for Dig Deep, because Dig Deep's funding is something that would be eligible for reimbursement through a number of the programs that we're applying for. We can't do that with the state or federal lobbying efforts. And so the agreement's broken up this year with task orders 1, 2, and 3 with Dig Deep Research in the amount of $380,000 for this coming year. And the Public Affairs Council, which is our state lobbyist, in the amount of $50,000 for this coming year. And our federal lobbyist, Water Strategies LLC, in the amount of $50,000 as well. Again, this is the same team that has been very successful in getting the $14 million appropriation from the state legislature, and so far through the House, $60 million authorization in the WERDA bill renewal. We're very hopeful that that's going to get through the Senate, and we're also pleased that we just had a call from Senator Merkley, Wyden. At the age I need multiple choice, so. Senator Wyden is tentatively slated to come and see the dam on the 5th of July. And so we've had Senator Merkley here previously, and Representative Schrader has been here as well. And so we're really excited that that Senator Wyden has requested to tour the dam as well, and that's going to be very critical with the WERDA bill, because we need the support of the Senate to modify the Senate version of the WERDA bill to include this project. So,
have both of the congressional representative candidates been here also? I know one has.
Yeah, we had one. I think the second one is coming with Senator Wyden.
Okay.
On the July 5th is what the tentative plans are, and again, these are all tentative at this point. We will hear, I think, when they become, you know, firmed up going forward. So I recommend the three motions be made separate.
Okay. Would anyone like to make the first motion of three?
I move to authorize the city manager to execute task orders 1, 2, and 3 with Dig Deep Research LLC in the combined amount of $380,000 for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022, subject to the review and authorization by the hardworking city attorney.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor
Kaplan,
thank you very much. Seconded by Councillor Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Next motion. It's getting late. Yes. Okay.
I draft the motion. That's why his
name. You got to do the other two now.
All right. I move to authorize the city manager to execute a contract with the Public Affairs Council, Inc., in the amount of $50,000 beginning July 1, 2022, subject to review and authorization by the city attorney.
Second. Yeah, right there.
Motion was made by Councilor Kaplan, seconded by Councilor Bateo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Alrighty, then I move to authorize the city manager to execute a contract with Water Strategies LLC in the amount of $50,000 beginning July 1, 2022, subject to review and authorization by the erstwhile city attorney.
Motion was made by Councilor Kaplan, seconded by Councilor Hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Hearing none, motion carries.
I should note the person doing all the work on this is Aaron, because he's the one preparing the contracts for me to review. So he should get all the credit for all the work.
Do you mean former vice chair of urban renewal?
We give you credit. Thank you, Aaron.
Maybe we should put him in these.
That's right. Put him in there.
Okay, we'll move on to 9B, please, Eric.
Approval of task order 17 with HDR Engineering Inc. in an amount up to $600,000 for early action item design tasks related to the Big Creek Dam project.
Hey, Spencer.
The city has a contract with HDR Engineering Inc. for various work related to the Big Creek Dam. Task order number 17 is utilizing a portion of the ARPA funding to initiate various aspects of the design project. The work included in task order 17 is a topographic survey for a permanent access road, instruction materials sourcing evaluation, construction materials sourcing evaluation, a geotechnical site investigation prep, and geological driller procurement, water rights initial coordination, program planning and communication for the overall project design, and general project management. The work order in this task order is estimated at $805,975. I'm asking the council to authorize work up to $600,000, which is the amount of money that we have available in the budget for this work for this year until we get the $14 million state funds. Once we get the state funds, then we can complete the additional $205,000 worth of work in this effort. What the key is going to be, and Aaron can elaborate further if council has questions, focusing on those things that we have to get done first in order to keep this project moving from a design standpoint, and hopefully the first payment of the $4 million from the state will allow us to continue on uninterrupted with this work. But Aaron, is there anything else you want to add? Okay.
Just a question.
Yes.
Well, go ahead. You go first.
No, okay. You go
first. Okay. Why are we using our own money when we have this $4 million coming in?
Because we don't. We have a commitment for the $4 million. The state has not sold the lottery bonds yet. Uh-huh. And so this will, and we did have these funds appropriated, and there is a local requirement for these funds. We had these funds appropriated for the Big Creek Dam project to keep things moving. Part of this, I think, is the ARPA. This is the ARPA funding that we designated towards the dams. Mm-hmm. And so this will keep us moving until that money comes through. On the $4 million, there's two things that have to happen. One is the state has to sell the lottery bonds, and that was scheduled to happen before the end of the state fiscal year. Whether that's going to happen or not, have you had? Yeah, okay. That's the same update we had last week. We don't know when they're selling those bonds yet. Secondly, we're working with the state on the agreement for the grants, funding the dollars to the city, which will go through the water, what's the department?
Resources department?
Yeah, why don't you come forward, Aaron? And so that agreement is with the Department of Justice right now, and
we're trying to find out exactly how long that'll take.
Yeah, and so it could be a while yet before that happens. If we stopped our work now, we would really be setting ourselves back quite a bit. So,
You could put the city attorney to work on it.
I didn't read that one.
Yeah, I think he's, yeah, no, no, he's, see, he did this one in advance, so he's not mentioned in the.
I didn't read that one.
If you know how to do geotechnical drilling, if you know how to do geotechnical drilling, we could use your help.
Okay. Beatrice?
Yeah, I have a question. There's a part, like a task five, water rights initial coordination. Is that also part of the grant, like, you know, the money to start like at the water rights, or what is exactly means the water rights?
So,
I'm sorry, maybe it was already mentioned before, but.
No, basically, if we, changes to the storage in the reservoir, there's a water right that's a storage water right. Changing where you take the water out is a water right. So all that is something we have to work through to get the rights modified. It's very, well, we found out in those meetings, it's very complex. Again, it's Oregon Water Resources Department that we've had some meetings with already. The duration of that effort is going to be significant, so if we can start that now, hopefully by the time we're ready to build our dam, we'll actually have our authorization for that.
Yeah, so there's a number of very significant permitting issues and water right issues that have to really work concurrently with the design process, and you know, we're basically doubling the amount of water that we're storing under the new dam, and those are the water rights that we have to obtain. Now, one would think it's fairly simple to do since we're the only, you know, we aren't competing with others for water rights on Big Creek, but we're learning nothing is simple. And so it's going to be a pretty involved process to get through that. HDR has to do quite a bit of the preliminary work, and HDR has someone on staff that specifically works on the permitting and these sorts of issues. And so that'll authorize some of that work to go ahead. You know, fish passage is going to be another major threshold that we have to go through from a regulatory standpoint for the dam. And so a lot of this stuff, you know, it's kind of the chicken or the egg. You know, you don't want to have the design complete without knowing, you know, for sure what rights we're going to be able to obtain. So they really do have to move along concurrently.
So, speaking of the water rights, when you said we are competing with other people, what do you mean?
We are not.
We are not, okay.
Yeah, on Big Creek. Now, on the Sletz, as an example, where, you know, there's all types of water rights on the Sletz River, that would seemingly be a lot more complicated to increase your water right because you've got, you know, the city of Toledo, you've got Georgia Pacific, you've got all kinds of other, you know, farming water rights on the Sletz River. You know, in this case, we're the only ones in the Big Creek watershed, so it would seem like it would be a more straightforward process, but hopefully it is. It doesn't seem like it's going to be, but it, you know, hopefully it becomes doable without too much.
Is it expensive to get that process going, or, I mean...
Yeah, everything we're going to do on this dam is going to be expensive.
I mean, what I'm meaning, getting the process, you know, the process with the rights, you know, is that part?
Yeah, because there will be legal expenses that we'll be dealing with for this. There will be the technical expenses through HDR engineering that will be part of this. And so... Yeah, and I can't remember in the proposal from HDR, do you remember how much, did they break it down by section of?
Yeah,
so there'd be a dollar
tiny font here
for that component.
And the legal expenses in the past, I know we utilized Rick Lick over at Davis Wright Tremaine. Is he still the attorney we would utilize on the water rights issues, or would HDR actually have someone internal?
No, we're using the attorney, and I can't think of his name right now, helped us with our water right for Rocky Creek.
Yeah, that's Rick Lick over at Davis Wright Tremaine. Okay, he's still on a so-called retainer. Yeah, he's one of the preeminent water law attorneys in Oregon.
Yeah. And even just one of the things I didn't know, but now I do, is just how you fill out your application and then you turn it in, the language you use, all those things need to be very well thought out, because that's exactly what might be used against you if somebody wants to fight it, challenge it. So we could probably fill out the form fairly quickly and turn it in, but we need to do it very thoughtfully.
And there's virtually always challenges to any water right issue. We had a challenge for Rocky Creek. And so we're expecting that there will be a challenge, which then creates some additional procedures that we'll be going through.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of curious about the
question. No, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Yep, so have we.
So, Spencer, didn't we already approve these ARPA funds for this work?
Yes. This is approving the work.
This is approving the
Contract. Right. You appropriated the funds earlier.
The work.
Okay.
The task order.
Okay, I'll move on this then.
Okay.
I move to authorize the city manager to execute task force number 17, ARPA funding dam design for the amount not to exceed $600,000.
It's been, the motion's been made by Councilor Goble, seconded by Councilor Boteo. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Let's see, we'll move on to 9C, please.
Notice of intent to award the South Beach Utility Undergrounding Phase 2 project to Extreme Excavating, Inc. in the amount of $540,676.07.
Okay, Spencer.
Bids were opened for the South Beach Utility Underground Phase 2 project on June 2nd. We were very happy. We got one bid. Today, that's doing really well, and especially when the bid is under budget. So, so that Extreme Excavating is the bid, and the recommendation is to issue a notice of intent to proceed with Extreme Excavation. And if no protests, then authorize the award and direct me to execute the contract on behalf of the city of Newport.
I can make the motion. I move to issue a notice of intent to award the South Beach Utility Undergrounding Phase 2 project to Extreme Excavation Incorporated in the amount of $540,676.07. Based on compiled unit prices and contingency upon no protest within 7 days, authorize the award and direct the city manager to execute the contract on behalf of the city of Newport.
That should be contingent. I see a typo there.
Oh, so. Did I say that? Okay,
no,
contingent.
You said it the way it was written, but
okay.
It should be contingent.
Contingent upon no protest. Thanks. Okay.
Second. So I have a question before we vote.
Okay.
So, Aaron, where is this actually? What are you going to be doing?
This is basically the, in short, it's the next sort of public phase backbone of putting conduits in the ground to help do the next step of the undergrounding. And then
on Ferry Slip?
Along Ferry Slip, kind of between, was it 40th and I think it's Marine Science?
Going out 32nd, it looks like.
A little bit, and so there'll, and some that'll go under the highway, but I believe this firm is a directional drilling specialist, so mostly I think we'll be, you won't be trenching.
Yeah, I know there's a map, but it
doesn't
really
explain high level.
What is happening.
And so this is preparation for the final phase, which will basically be the homes that are out there that also need some undergrounding. So we're going to do some outreach during this phase to let folks know this isn't when we touch their properties, that'll be phase three. But this will be putting the backbone in, then PUD is going to get the power in, and then hopefully we'll be going out for bid.
Are you going to be digging up the highway again then?
I don't think so. I think they're going to go under it. So I'm pretty sure we're able to directional drill under it. So no, shouldn't have any more major. I mean, there'll be some traffic impacts. We'll know more once we get coordinating.
You'll be augering the pipes in then?
Yeah, directional drill. Yep. So they, which is great because that should be a lot less disruption.
These are water pipes or what are they?
No, just conduits to pull power.
Conduits for power?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the power undergrounding.
So we're doing this work, then the PUD is going to provide the...
We're partnering with PUD on this, yeah. So we're doing some, they're doing some, and they've been on the team helping us with this. And, you know, when we send out our letters of notice, they'll sign off on those as well.
Okay, so this would be like 3-inch conduit or something?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty big for most of it. Yeah, because there's also some other stuff, some of the communication conduit or communication stuff may go through as well. So we need to make sure there's plenty of room or separation between them, depending on what you're pulling.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions?
No. I just have a question. Mm-hmm. Related to the underground, it's also the electricity or just...
This is for electricity.
Okay. Yes. And when they had you are talking about houses, so in that case, those are private property, in that case, so that's the PUD part, right? Is the city or how? The property at the person, the private property.
Yeah, so it would be the next phase of our project, and basically a house that currently has a wire that goes out of the roof and up to an overhead will basically come up to the house underground and then go up to their meter. We'll put some sort of a cap on, we'll cut off and put a cap on the pipe that comes out of the roof so there's no water issues. We won't touch their roof. That way we don't cause a problem. And then PUD will switch them over to go down instead of up, and that'll be their final phase. And so then they'll be ready, hopefully better suited if there's a tsunami or something like that.
Is that expense from, PUD is the ones that pay, or is the owner who pays for that?
They have some components, but it's the urban renewal is the fund.
Yeah, basically this has been an urban renewal project, and it's really part of the project that started with Safe Haven Hill to eliminate the electrical overhead. So, because in a case of an earthquake, those lines would likely come down. People are trying to get to Safe Haven Hill. And so it was, that was the original basis for it, as well as the beautification part of the process. So it's been an expensive project. This is phase two. I'm trying to remember how much phase one was. I think phase one was more than this phase, and then going to be a phase almost three. Sure. But again, this is one of the urban renewal projects that is one of those transformational projects for the South Beach corridor.
And yeah, so it is very important if you get asked by someone in the public, this is not the phase where we touch their house. We intend to give individual letters to everybody whose house we're going to touch, walk through the process, the restoration, and all that. So there'll be a lot more outreach for phase three. So this is just the public side right now still.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the motion's already been made by Councillor Hall, seconded by Councillor Jacoby. Jacoby. Goble.
I think tonight we all need multiple choice on.
Talk about me.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. That passes. 9D, please.
Consideration and potential approval of an agreement with the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County for Vision 2040 implementation.
Spencer.
As you are aware, the city received a grant from the Ford Family Foundation in the amount of $180,000 for community building activities related to the Vision 2040 plan. Leslie Politosh, who was our vision coordinator, was hired under this grant. Due to COVID-19, we have not been able to spend the total grant funds, during the time period that we were to spend them for various community events and those sorts of things. In discussions with the Ford Family Foundation that Peggy has had, they're allowing us to continue using these funds for an extended period of time. And what we're proposing to do is enter into an agreement with the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County, who is going to be retaining the services of Leslie Palatash to continue with certain aspects of the work that we've been doing with the Vision 2040 Committee, specifically relating to the community connector role, assisting the Vision 2040 Committee and staff on the use of existing vision materials, templates, procedures, providing active committee support, work group meetings, and the Vision Advisory Committee meetings, and in the development of the Vision Progress Report that gets presented to the Council each year, and connecting Vision stakeholders to city processes, and consulting and participating in the Ford Family Foundation check-in meetings with the city committee stakeholder presentation. So it'll allow a continuation of some of the things that Leslie was doing for us in the role that when she was employed for the city. Under this agreement, though, the city is going to be responsible for creating any new Vision 2040 materials, preparing agendas, minutes, and kind of the general committee support and scheduling meetings and committee and work group meetings and preparing any grant reports, budgets, or other required materials for the Ford Family Foundation. Some of that we were doing as city staff. Some of this will be some additional responsibility, but it seems like this is a good process to utilize the remaining Ford Family Foundation money and the city's contribution to that those original grants to continue the vision implementation process.
I thought that Leslie left because we ran out of funds on this, and maybe I was under a totally like different impression of that. Okay, so but that Leslie would be hired under the like to do this. Great, I'm all in favor of that. What an asset to our community, you know. And I love her energy. So I think you know she cares so much about seeing this to fruition. I'd love to you know see how that we can continue to make this happen. Absolutely, and I'm happy to move on it if that would help. I move to authorize an agreement with the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County in the amount of $80,000 for fiscal year 2022 to 2023 for community connector support for the Vision 2040 implementation in conjunction with the Ford Family Foundation funding.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councillor Hall, seconded by Councillor Buteo. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
I just want to comment. It's really good, you know, that the community is moving to the community and all the committee, they were agree about this because, you know, it can carry different activities in the community. It's the vision of the community. So it has several components. I think it's really good the way it's going to, you know, work for everybody.
I like that, and I like the fact that we're working with the Lincoln County Economic Development Group helps support their viability as an organization, and I think under their new direction, they're really doing some pretty good stuff here in the county, so it helps them out as well.
Okay. Moving on to 9E, Eric.
Approval of an agreement with Nutrien Ag Solutions in the amount of $50,400 for the city's annual gravel street dust control program. We do have some public comment on this one.
Spencer?
Each year, the city contracts for application of dust control measures on city gravel streets, which includes about 10 miles of roadway. The request for proposals was solicited through Oregon Buys. Again, Nutrien Ag Solutions is a company that's been doing this work for a number of years. And as Eric indicated, we do have public comment that requested to be read at tonight's meeting. And without further ado, Eric can read the letter.
So this email is from a Carla Perry. The email was from June 17th, 2022. She states, please read the following public comment aloud into the record at the June 20, 2022 City Council meeting. It pertains to agenda item 9E, the contract for use of borobase L ammonium lignosulfate as dust control on Newport's residential gravel streets. Note the agenda staff report misspells the chemical's name. The correct spelling is lignosulfonate. She highlights under O-N. It is correctly spelled in the contract document. Thank you, Carla Perry Newport. She goes on to state, to city council, mayor, and staff, I live in a Newport neighborhood where most streets are gravel without sidewalks. For the past few years, in early summer, Nutrien Ag Solutions, by contract with the city, has sprayed a thick coating of ammonium lignosulfate on the gravel as a dust abatement solution. I request that the city stop this method of dust control in residential neighborhoods where streets are gravel and have no sidewalks. When ammonium lignosulfate, a byproduct of lumber and papermaking industries, is used on gravel roads, it is a valid dust abatement strategy. However, the chemical is not appropriate for residential neighborhoods where there are no sidewalks. The sticky brown chemical cannot be avoided by walkers and their dogs. Although humans can remove their shoes when entering their homes after a walk, our dogs track it into our homes and onto our carpets. Vacuuming isn't enough to remove it. Carpets need to be shampooed. To keep the dogs from licking their feet and ingesting repeat doses of the substance, their paws need to be washed with soapy water and rinsed thoroughly after each walk. The dense, dark brown, slick substance takes at least a month to thoroughly dry on our gravel streets, and it has a nasty smell until dry. The acrid smell permeates our homes for several weeks after being applied. As the summer progresses, the chemical dissipates and it has no effect on dust abatement anymore. That is until the rains begin and the chemical is washed into potholes and other low areas where the liquid pools into dark brown, slick, and foul-smelling areas once again. But this time it is even more concentrated. And again, the dogs track it into our houses and onto our carpets. They lick their feet to remove the substance. According to the USDA, ammonium lignosulfate is soluble in water. When entering waterways through runoff, the water becomes toxic to fish. She has an asterisk, which points to a study from the USDA, which is certainly something we want to avoid. My neighborhood is rampant with springs and creeks that surface on the gravel streets and then return underground before flowing into the ocean. If you polled residents who live on gravel streets with no sidewalks, you'll find we'd much rather cope with dust than with lignosulfate because it is impossible to avoid when taking a neighborhood walk. I ask that you consider not applying lignosulfate on the gravel streets in residential neighborhoods that do not have sidewalks. If you do pursue the contract with Nutrien Ag Solutions, please limit the use of lignosulfate to gravel roads that do not have pedestrian and dog traffic. Thank you, Carla Perry out of Newport. And then she has some reference notes at the bottom, which she did not request being read.
How can you assure that you're not going to have pedestrians and dogs?
You mean on the streets, you mean based on the comments about if you proceed, then don't do it on street, on gravel roads that do not have, or where it said limit the use on gravel roads that do not have pedestrian traffic? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm just throwing something out there. Most of the gravel streets in town don't have sidewalks.
Right.
And I don't think that, I don't know of any gravel street that has a sidewalk.
I can tell you from a city manager perspective, I start getting lots of calls from people on dust control. Yeah. If we are behind the eight ball on getting these applications in place, so I don't agree with the assessment in Carla's note that a majority of people wouldn't want this because that's not the phone calls that I receive. So
PB will be calling you.
What's that?
PB will be calling.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. So anyway, and Dave can respond a little bit to some of the what the material is, and I was looking to see if I misspelled it or if you misspelled it, David.
It's
but I think you misspelled
me.
It. So
that's probably me.
I think from a material standpoint, again, we start getting calls the minute things start drying out a little bit about, you know, getting dust control down on our roads. So.
I think what would help us, Spencer, is you do it in your report, your annual, not annual, monthly report, but like a log of those calls that you get so that we can get some, because all we have here in the public comment is Carla's comment. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have the people who say, keep the dust under control.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, if the council chooses not to go ahead with it, you will get some feedback. So so that's a council decision. But we get a lot of calls on it. So and it'd be hard to specifically log every complaint call that comes in for everything, because a lot of them go to David. They come to me. They'll come to you if you make a decision not to do this, but that's kind of a call for the council. So
it might be good to also have a map of these roads that are.
It's been sprayed in our neighborhood up the street and at the golf course forever.
Yeah,
hey, and we don't have any problem with it. No, I mean the people just walk on it, and yeah, we have animals that walk on it. It's not been a problem for us.
What do you have to contribute, Dave?
I'm just here to answer questions. Any questions of me? I've got the the study up that she references that talks about BOD increase, biological oxygen demand in streams if there's runoff. But there's nothing in here that says it's toxic to humans or animals or plants. The manufacturer's literature has some, just some questions and answers. I can share those with you. These are like FAQs, frequently asked questions. How long do I have to wait until I can drive on it? So you can drive on it immediately. We would recommend driving slow to keep your vehicle clean, but any lignin liquid that does get on the equipment can come off gently with rubbing in water and a sponge or wet rag. So it's water soluble. It just sprays off your car. How long does it take to dry? On a hot day, it will dry in a couple hours. If it's colder or overcast, it could take multiple days to fully cure. Is it toxic to the environment? No. Lignin is certified organic and is also used in cattle feed and crop fertilizers. Will it hurt my pets or wildlife if they step or drink it? No. It is actually used in some animal feed as a binder for pellet food and for cattle as replacement of molasses. Is there any bad smell or odors? Some people have told us that it makes them hungry because it smells like a barbecue. How far does the application soak into the surface? It's usually 2 to 3 inches. Lignin soaks into the dirt, gluing the rock in place to form a stronger road that stabilizes the top layers as well as the road base. Let's see. Do lignosulfates contain heavy metals? Lignosulfates are derived from wood and thus contain trace amounts of metals that are naturally present in trees. And those are the main points that were in this this literature here.
What time of year is it typically treated?
Pardon me?
What time of year are the gravel roads typically treated?
As soon as they start drying out, late June, early July.
Kind of depends on the season. Last year it was early. This year it's quite a bit later, so.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking Councillor Parker might have some thoughts on this, and our next meeting isn't until middle of July. That's what I'm thinking.
It has been in place for a number of years.
Yes.
Have there been other complaints similar to Ms. Perry's over that time?
We had a guy last year call us and ask who to send the bill to clean his car, to have his car detailed after he drove through it. We found out that he didn't drive on any of our gravel roads. It was a county road, and they had applied a different material. We get some calls like, this stuff is sticky, but then we explain to them that that's the way that it goes down, and it'll clear up in a few days. So more questions about what the substance is. There are people that are new here or just visiting.
Yeah, the one thing it does do too is it maintains the surface of the gravel roads without it getting washboardy. So it reduces their grading requirements because it kind of binds that surface together.
Is any other substance, I mean, a different kind to use, or is the only type that can be used?
There are other types that can be used, just described in this report. The use of molasses-based materials, but they don't last as long. It just costs just as much to put them down, but they don't last as long. I'd have to thumb through to find another, you know, they had a list of ways that you could do dust control that are different than this.
Are neighbors in the vicinity given notice that this is going to be applied on X date by this company, or does that get synced up to give them notice that, like, for the next couple of days, just be forewarned?
Well, we'd have a press release that would talk about the fact that we're going to put it down, yeah.
Yeah, but that's citywide, right? It's not specific to neighborhoods. And are they applying this in different areas over a course of like a couple weeks, or how does it, I don't know really the process or how long it takes.
It takes, no, last year they were doing it for about a week, I think. They travel up from the valley from the Nutrien Ag manufacturing facility. And then our guys ride in the truck with them and show them where to go to do the application. I mean, we could certainly, in our press release, you know, put down which roads they are, if that would be more clarifying to.
I mean, honestly, I think it would be helpful.
You think that would be helpful?
Be helpful to what exactly?
Helpful to the neighbors who are wondering, like, if they walk their dogs in a certain area, or if they're driving their newly detailed cars on our city roads, you know, gravel roads. So I guess that would be more of a courtesy heads up to more pinpoint where and when they're doing different parts of Newport.
Like a public advisory on, you know, this is what we're going to be doing, this is the material.
The press release already happens, but if they could say, like, Monday we're doing, you know, this area, Tuesday we're doing, you know, just so I'm just trying to figure out a way, because it feels like this is something that already happens. I'm just trying to figure out how to address the concern that came forward, the public comment that came forward.
When we did the press release last year, I don't know if we got into a lot of detail on what it was. It was kind of done right about the time I got here, or just
quickly thereafter. We can go into some additional detail. You know, for someone to use a press release, we've got to be careful about length too. And we cover, it's 10 miles of roads that we're doing this on, so it would be a pretty complicated sounding. Mm-hmm. It's basically, if you're on a gravel road, we're using it, so. Yeah.
What if you left a walking strip on one side?
There usually is.
Yeah, I can speak from experience because I live on a dead-end gravel road. It's near you, Cynthia. Huh. This has been laid on my gravel road for a number of years. And the way, and I'm just speaking from my experience, and I walk a dog, as you know, many times a day. They're usually, based on the way the truck lays down the material, there usually is a kind of a small walking path on either side of the road. And I've actually been able, at least I've been able to avoid having my dog walk on the material by walking closer to the side of the road until I get to a paved street. And it does stick for a couple days. So, you know, you have to probably be more careful for the first couple days before it solidifies. But I will note that when it does rain a lot and there's potholes, it will pool up into a dark kind of liquid, which I just make sure my dog avoids when I'm walking her. So again, there are issues, but I guess if you take precaution and you're able to walk on the side of the road, if you have that ability, and you know, you just be careful. I personally, from experience over the past number of years, haven't had any issue with it, but maybe others have had an issue with it. I'm just speaking from my own personal experience on this. Who walks a dog three times a day, as many of you know. Yeah.
And then if it helps keep potholes from forming, that's a good thing. The integrity of the gravel road, you said, Spencer?
Well, sometimes what happens is the potholes form regardless of what you put on this dust control stuff. So the potholes is a separate issue. And I found that over the time, my road especially, since it's not heavily used, but it does create potholes, is this material does reduce the dust, But if you don't keep up on the potholes, it will pool up when there's a rain. I mean, I've seen that. I've observed this. So it looks like a dark pool material, and I don't know what's in it, or I know what's in it, but I don't want to. I make sure my dog doesn't get close to it. But that's a pothole issue, not the dust control issues. I think they're a little bit separate, but they may be related based on.
It does bind the gravel surface to keep it.
It
lasts a lot longer with it than without.
Yeah, but the potholes still.
Right.
They still happen.
They're going to create.
Happen. Hmm. Not that I'm complaining about potholes on my road. I'm not doing that, but
this stuff
that's just the nature of a gravel road, I guess.
This stuff is biodegradable, right?
Yeah. But again, you know, Carla's speaking to some issues that perhaps she experiences more than me. I'm just giving you my own personal experience in this.
Carla lives on the gravel road that's up by 15th Street.
Same neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, between us.
Yeah. Same issues, same neighborhood.
I did find the paragraph on alternatives to lignin sulfate. It says, for dust suppression, alternate methods of dust suppression from best management practices include vegetative cover for non-traffic areas, mulch, including gravel mulch, sprinkling with water, spray-on adhesives, including anionic asphalt emulsion, resin and water and latex emulsion, applications of stone or gravel on disturbed roads to control air currents or surface roughening at angles perpendicular to prevailing winds. Most of these methods, with the exception of adhesive applications and water sprays, do not involve applications similar to those used for lignin sulfate, but are physical manipulations of the landscape. Cost, available resources, level of control, and extent of dust problem are factors that may affect the choice of dust control measures. That's from a US EPA 2006 report.
We really haven't gotten any complaints on it other than from Carla, right?
I would say in the time I've been here, I think I've had more complaints about them not doing the entire road, but doing the pathway.
Oh, the one I just...
Yeah, that scenario, because, you know, cars are traveling outside of that pathway generating dust. And then we'll get a couple calls on people that have it splashed on their car if they drive through it when it's wet. But that's, I think, would be, do you remember any?
Not very
many. Yeah, I've had a lot more calls on the dust than
on not doing it than doing it, right?
Right.
We're just going to make sure if someone makes a motion, that we're going to make sure that the person who made the public comment, because the others aren't public, right, that they get notice, you know, when that press release goes out. So make sure, don't walk your dog near those areas, I think, for a number of days, just to be on the safe side.
I think that's a good idea, because in the past, I've only learned about that when I've called the city directly. I remember when it first happened, I was on the city council, and I called Tim Gross, our public works director, and I said, Tim, what's this material? It smells like molasses that's on there. I mean, actually, it smelled like molasses, and I said, what is this? And he explained to me what it was, and he said it wasn't toxic and so forth. But I got that information because I called the city directly. I think it would be nice, just generally speaking, that the public, through a press release or otherwise, could at least get some of that information without having to contact the city directly. Because like me, when you first see it, you're wondering, what is this? What impact will it have on me or my dog or whatever, you know, other walking, you know, that you do, you know, your car and so forth. So I think that's a good point, is being proactive to answer those questions, even though we try and do it as best we can. Maybe a little more information can go a long ways to reduce the number of calls you get at the Public Works Department.
Sure.
Do that?
Yeah, I think we can expand on the press release.
I think that's more important than listing the streets. And I think that would be
Or
really
in
good.
The press release, just say, avoid walking your dog on the streets these days, or something like that, just to like be mindful of that.
Just some advice.
There's an opportunity for education here. Let's take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready for a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion and get it up to the center. I move to approve a contract with Nutrien Ag Solutions through the Oregon Buys for an amount not to exceed $50,400 for application of dust control materials for the city's annual gravel street dust control project, and authorize the city manager to execute the goods and services contract on behalf of the city of Newport, subject to review and approval by the city attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made by Councilor Goble, seconded by Councilor Kaplan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank and you. My review of this contract will be purely legal, nothing based on personal experience, just as an FYI.
Well, you had testimony here at the council meeting, so.
Okay, well. We're going to move on to 9F. Thanks, Eric.
Authorization of a purchase in gear for a Pierce Enforcer Type 1 pumper from Hughes Fire Equipment through the NPP Gov Group Purchasing Agreement in the amount of $661,639.
Okay, Spencer.
Funds have been appropriated in the amount of $665,000 for the purchase of a new fire pumper equipment and the gear that would be necessary for that equipment for the Newport Fire Department. The city's current primary response vehicle is a 2016 HME Type 1 pumper. We have had a number of problems with this equipment since it went into service 7 years ago, and with the replacement unit, this would be our backup unit versus our primary unit for response. Interesting to note, the delivery time is between 18 months and 24 months for this unit, so we're making a decision that won't actually result in a piece of equipment for Rob and his crews to use for probably a couple years. The recommendation is to go forward with this. Again, this is one of the reserve funds that we set up is for the replacement of this heavy equipment at the fire department, so we have the funding in place to cover this particular expense. And Rob's here for any questions.
Hey, do you have a room in the truck bays for this monster?
Yes, we will. We have a couple of options. Yes, we will end up having room. We will make a decision as to what we're going to keep and what we are going to surplus. I'm in discussions with staff right now about that, but you know, with the 18 to 22 month build time, I've got a little bit of time to figure out which piece of equipment that I would like to move along. So we have a couple of options, but yes, there will be a piece of equipment that will move, and it will free up the space for this to be able to be housed in the station.
Is South Beach full too?
Yes, currently we are full. All of our apparatus bays at all stations are full.
Is there a warranty or anything on the past equipment's issues?
So there are warranties. The length of time of the warranty varies based on what the particular system on the vehicle is. I can tell you most of the warranties with our current HME engine have expired. Most warranties are up to 5 years for most systems. There are certain things that go longer, 10 years, 20 years, but those tend to be very basic things like the frame and, you know, things that don't tend to have an issue. But one of the bigger systems in the HME that we've had issues with is the motor. And that was on a 5-year warranty, and that was up last year. And so any further issues with that motor means that we have to pay for it. So, and it can get very expensive very quickly to work on a motor. We've already had the head replaced. We've had work on various parts in that. Most, you know, so fortunately, it's all been covered under warranty. But now if a new issue comes up, then it will not be, and we'll have to pay for it. one of the reasons, you know, why we're putting this forward is to get this, that HME off of frontline status, which will reduce its wear and tear significantly. You know, if you look at how many miles we put on our second and third out apparatus, it is significantly less than what we put on our primary apparatus.
Yeah, thank you.
Ready to make a motion?
I'll move.
Okay.
The fire department's doing a great job, so I know we have the money.
Thank you, Council.
I move to authorize the purchase of a Pierce Enforcer Type 1 pumper from Hughes Fire Equipment through the NPPGov purchasing agreement in the amount of $661,639, subject to review and approval by the city attorney.
There's a lot riding on me on this meeting tonight. I'm getting that impression.
The full employment bill.
Yes.
Second. It's been moved by Councillor Goble, seconded by Councillor Boteo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
We just need your feature of hand at every
sentence. I'm going to start writing the motions from now on.
I think it should say City Attorney David Allen.
Yes. I'm going to close the local contract review board.
Good.
Yeah, how's that?
Good job.
Okay. And we have a report now from the mayor and the council. And Councillor Hall's report is the only one that made it. Mine was stuck somewhere. I had it ready and then it never sent.
You got it late this afternoon.
Late, yeah. I resent it. Well,
I'll be attending the chamber dinner. Are there folks attending the chamber dinner?
Yeah.
On Friday? Oh, good. Okay.
That's chamber dinner?
Mm-hmm. That's coming up. I was going to go
Friday.
To that, yeah.
You signed up to go.
Peggy, who signed up to go?
That's at the Best Western, right?
Yeah.
I can walk over there, yeah.
Don't forget, you got to go there.
Yeah, so Peggy, who is all signed up for the dinner? Do you remember?
So my recollection is that you are signed up, Spencer. Councillor Hollis registered. Councillor Jacoby with a guest. Councillor Goble without a guest.
Going to be my date?
Yeah, we can go together.
You get two dates? Oh. I haven't signed yet.
Would you like to go?
I need to ask one of my kids if he can go with me. So
let me know tomorrow because I'll reach out to the chamber. And Lance and his wife are going. Dean and his wife are going. I'm going to go. My last chamber hurrah. And yeah, no, we have almost two tables, so one and a half tables if Councillor Boteo and goes and brings a
we're
guest.
We're all sitting
and
at the same table?
Two tables.
That's good. Mm-hmm. It's maybe
too. What?
As long as you aren't talking city business, it's perfect.
This is a social event, no city business.
As long as we're not talking about spraying the roads or any of that stuff.
No talking about the city attorney or anyone else.
As long as it's approved by the city attorney, I'm going.
I requested to be excused for the next meeting, but I still don't know it's possible. So just be maybe ready with a Zoom option for the July meeting.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, but I should probably be looking at Eric. Because we need about 24 hours notice. It's a little bit different now than it was when staff knew what we were doing. Now we rely on IT.
So, Peggy, how much longer?
How much longer for what?
Don't ask that question.
You're going to be here.
Well,
to give you an idea, I basically have moved out of my office. It's now Peggy's office permanently, at least for the rest of the year.
She's nesting again then, huh?
Not really. I'm keeping everything neat so David can work there.
Oh, it's your office now.
So I don't really know. My next new date is September 1st.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
But she's requested vacation in later on in September, so.
Oh, she requested vacation already at the end of September?
Yeah, so.
So it's not September.
That's a good sign.
Could be a little longer.
It might be a little bit longer, but last year we had the council going to Italy for the month of September because of COVID, so looking at that again.
So you're going to stick around as long as we, you said you were hiring an assistant city recorder?
We're looking, yeah, we've been through four or five recruitments, and we've had a person who's had two or three interviews now, and there's some reference checking going on.
All right. Well, hopefully one of these days we'll have a full staff again.
One day.
But our next full meeting is July 18th.
Yes.
Yep. No meeting. Yeah, this is our summer vacation now, people. So no meeting on the first Monday of July. So if you show up here, it's going to be very lonely for you.
So there is one more public comment when we get there.
Oh, yeah. Public. Is there any public comment?
Yes. So Dr. Siglio, who was sitting in the back for a while, left a note, and she said, "We feel that supportive asking saves kids campaign is an important way to save lives of children in households that have guns." So she asked that we read that.
Yeah, so we approved that, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, it was a proclamation.
But she got here too late for that item.
Well, I think people who have guns should lock them up.
I think some of the people that have guns should be locked up.
People should be locked up.
Right. Some of the people who have guns should be locked up. And I'd feel safe.
Hey, Sam.
Yes.
Rob was trying to take your cake.
Rob is
there. He had it in his hands. Hey, Eric. See, I'm deaf.
We have several people that have filed. Am I allowed to say?